Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I
hey,
like to play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
And welcome to the Steeler Final Score, brought to you by Behind the Steel Curtain. My name is Brian Anthony Davis. Along with me is Tony DeFeo, and we have some happy campers on the line tonight as the Pittsburgh Steelers went ahead and beat the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium, a place where the decibels were off the chart. It was dome-like, my friends, and they silenced those people in the Midwest. So happy that you came and joined us this evening. We have a lot to talk about. As you can see, I'm stuttering through the beginning because I am so excited about the big win as the Steelers go to 4-2. Not all the problems have been solved, but it's really big when you go ahead and beat a team like the Kansas City Chiefs on the road and announce yourself as a big-time player in the 2017 National Football League season. Once again, this is Brian. Along with me is Anthony. Tony, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me again. I'm doing fantastic. It was a very big win, and it's important for a lot of reasons. I mean, they showed that they can play with anybody, which we weren't sure about for the first 5 weeks. They changed the dynamics for the AFC, like you mentioned, like you alluded to. They could have been fine, which would have been poor, essentially, with the tiebreaker. And now they tightened everything up in the AFC. Now they're a game behind and have that tiebreaker in their back pocket should they find a way to grab another, gain another game on the Chiefs. So, yeah, it's very big, especially after last week.
And I agree with you completely. That was actually my next thought. And I was talking about that during the game that, look, I mean, if you lose this game, you're down three games with a tiebreaker, you're down four, you're basically out of the number one seed contention. And we see how important that is, especially come January, if you are a playoff team. And there's still 10 games left in this regular season. Not all the problems have been solved, but you solved a big problem by saying that emphatically you could go out and beat a good team on the road. So feeling good, loving it, and ready to talk to our friends in Steeler Nation. Now, the phones are lighting up already. We want to hear from you, and if you want to call in, it's easy to do, so you know what to do. You know the number to call, and I am going to go ahead and get that for you in just a second. It's just not on my top screen. We had some technical difficulties to go ahead and start the show, so I am going to go ahead and pull that up because I tell you what, I was not ready for it. So here it is, 347-850-8581 is the number to call. Be sure to call in. And remember, we have a lot of people that want to talk about the game, so we're going to keep your calls short and appreciate you calling in. But remember, the show is brought to you by Frank Walker Law, the top criminal defense firm to call in Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and home to one of the nation's top 100-ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker for his Pennsylvania office. Call 412-212-3878. Or to reach his West Virginia office, call 304-712-2089. You should also check out his website, frankwalkerlaw.com, to see how he can help you in your time of need. Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results. Tony, I got to ask you, you talked about it at the beginning, how big of a win this is, especially going into the playoff talk. There are 10 weeks to go, but what are your knee-jerk reactions from this game?
Well, I think actually going into the game, I was pretty confident that they matched up really well with Kansas City, as they proved in the past, and I wanted to believe that they could go in there and win, but I was too afraid to say it out loud after the way last week went. So my knee-jerk reaction is I thought they were a good team through the first 5 weeks. They just didn't show it. And today they showed it. And like you said, all the problems aren't solved. And we saw what happened late in the first half with the first goal at two, and you had to set up another field goal. And the tackling was a little bit hairy at the end when Kansas City scored their touchdown to make it 12-10. But yeah, overall, to me today they I said last week that they had to they had a lot of work to do to restore their faith as a Super Bowl contender, and I think today they went a long way in doing that.
I think emphatically they did. Very big game, and there are so many reasons why, and we're going to get into that. We're going to have game balls today. Last week we did not throw out game balls, so I will go ahead and throw out. In fact, you know, both Tony and I are going to throw out game balls for the offense and for the defense, and we'll do that in a little bit. But remember, it's your show, and you decide how long it is by whoever wants to call in. Feel free to call. Once again, 347. Is the area code 850-8581. Please give us a call here on Blog Talk Radio. And the Steeler final score. You know, we're going to start off right off the bat with a guy that always keeps us even keel. The guy that he's, you know, I like to call him the Yoda of our show here. And we're going to go to New Jersey right now. We know that Vito's on the line, and I'm pretty sure he's excited to talk. So, Vito, how are you this evening?
Gentlemen, how are you guys? What a great
hey,
night. Yelling. I was yelling at the top of my lungs on a lot of plays, you know, watching the game with my daughter. She was excited. That Antonio Brown play near the end where it was almost intercepted and he's able to do that one-handed grab and take it to the house. I mean, what a critical play for the offense, because I think that really bailed Ben out, because that throw, I think, was rushed a little bit. He threw it in tight coverage and Antonio was able to make it work. But what a big bounce back game. Defense played great, only giving up 13 points. And let's not forget, guys, Le'Veon Bell and the offense pulling from what he brings to the team. I mean, it's incredible. Incredible.
Well, I got to tell you, Vito, I think Le'Veon Bell ramped up that $17 million talk with the way he controlled that game, too. And you know what you have in Antonio Brown. He is he's just a game changer, and he is the heart on that offense to keep it going. But I have got to give props, and I'm just going to throw it out right now. There's so many game balls to go around on offense, and you know the obvious ones are going to be Bell and Brown. But I tell you what, I'm going to give it to the gunfighter. The gunfighter who lost the gunfight last week, which I don't understand how you could lose a gunfight and live, but Ben Roethlisberger, he had a modest stat line of 18 for 25, but he won. He kept control. He went in calmly, won that game. He threw that ball. Antonio Brown did bail him out. He threw it into coverage. It was rushed. But he was also playing with two guys off of his offensive line, two starters, not there, and I thought he had a pretty good game. What did you think of Ben's performance, though, especially after that disaster that was last week against Jacksonville?
I think he was very, very focused, very careful. He seemed like he was playing a lot better. He was more of a game manager this time around, and he made some nice throws. I mean, he found Martavis for a nice one, and that interception that was intercepted by Peters, that was definitely on Brown because he stopped. If he doesn't stop, he has that ball. He probably most likely is the first down and keeps the drive going. So, I mean, I thought he did a much better job, more focused, more relaxed. He can't say enough. Look, the guy will always give you a chance. And I think they said it last week. If that's the worst game he's going to have of the year where he gets those five interceptions out of the way, great, let's move forward and let's keep going. And let's build from it, let's get better from it. And maybe he doesn't need to do the things he did in the past when he had to throw it 30, 40 times a game. Maybe he doesn't need to do that. I mean, he's going to have to do that if we're playing from behind, but Kansas City is not a team that's built to play from behind. So if you remember on the one drive where he was looking for Bell in the end zone where they had a self field goal, Brown was wide open on the other side. If he hits Brown on that one, if it changes the whole dimension of the game for the Chiefs, now they got to keep throwing the ball. They're not built to throw the ball and come from behind. If they're down two or three scores, I don't know if they can hang with every team doing that. But to be able to go in there again and win a tough game in a super tough environment against a really, really good team. I mean, look, this is an undefeated team you're beating. And maybe they got a little bit lax, thinking, you know what, we're going to be able to take Pittsburgh on with no problem. And you can clearly see Bell was able to break through because of some of the defense that they put up against the Steelers.
You know, that was an actual shred game. He shredded that defense. And, even when he came out and James Conner came in, James Conner was running very well, too. So they really took it to that defense. I'm going to give major props to David DeCastro for a major assist for Le'Veon Bell's great game today. I mean, a lot of it happened on Le'Veon Bell's legs, his will, his smarts, his patience. But, Tony, what do you think of the offensive line and how they stepped up, especially in that run game, for a team that was 24th in the league rushing the ball?
Oh, it was tremendous. And let's not forget, Marcus Gilbert, maybe the best right tackle in the game. He comes back, and what, within a quarter and a half, maybe even not that long, he's out again with the hamstring. Chris Hubbard comes in. And you already have B.J. Finney on the line, filling in for Ramon Foster, and the line doesn't miss a beat. Ben gets sacked once all day. Bell rushed for 179 yards. It was just a tremendous performance. And my game ball goes to Chris Hubbard for coming in at the last second and filling in admirably like he did in the beginning when Foster went down a few weeks ago. It was just a great performance and it just shows the value of depth along the offensive line. I mean, a few years ago, we were wondering if they would get five good starters on the line. Now they have maybe seven or eight starter-capable offensive linemen.
And I tell you what, that was quite a turnaround from a very dismal performance by Hubbard last week. And, not even a great performance the week before. So he came in cold. But really, really amped it up. I was not expecting you to say Chris Hubbard. I respect that pick. That's a really good pick. And we're gonna throw game balls at Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell just for fantastic performances. Hey, we didn't give any away last week. We could afford to give a bunch away this week, can't we, Tony?
Oh, absolutely. So, if there's ever a day for that, today the defense deserves a lot. The offense deserves a lot. Absolutely.
So, Vito, going forward, do you feel we talked about this at the beginning of the show, Vito, that, the team is not without warts still. I mean, there's still some concerns, and you mentioned that about being able to come from behind. But what is your confidence level right now after six games with a 4-2 record and a 2-0 record in the division?
I think this team was so close to being at least 5-1. They can only get better. They can't get worse, right? This was definitely a bounce-back game. They played a lot tighter. But if you look around the league, who's without problems? I mean, New England isn't perfect. The Falcons are definitely not perfect. I mean, look, they had a 17-point lead, and they lost the game. We could go around the league, and we could find plenty of teams with problems. I mean, let's look at a team like the Giants, who invested $200 million in their defense last year, who everybody thought would at least be contending for a playoff spot this year, and they're 0-5. I mean, they're beating Denver right now, but think about it. Let's look at Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I mean, look at that play in the first quarter with him getting hurt. Talk about a big, big mishap there. Losing that guy for the rest of the season, it changes everything. So, everybody can be great one week. The problem is injuries can mount, and all of a sudden it changes the tempo of everything, and it changes your team. But the one thing I like about these guys is that they can remain healthy and at least put 19, 20 guys on the field week in and week out. It's going to be hard to put, everybody on the field because there's going to be someone that's dinged up or injured. I think the arrow is definitely pointing up, and I think we build from this win, and it should give us momentum to say, we know we're better than what we were last week.
You know what? That's a great way to look at it, and I can't agree with you more on that. So I tell you what, next week is going to be a pivotal game, actually, for the fact that Cincinnati started off tough at 0-3 and then started winning. They had a bye week this week. That offense is starting to click. especially with Joe Mixon starting to get into the mix and seizing that lead role. And A.J. Green is just could be unstoppable when he's on fire. And when Dalton gets that connection with Green, that's a pretty tough team. That defense is still not a slouch either. So, you know, that's going to be a very good game, a very big game for the team, another 425 game since that time's been moved up. So I'm really looking forward to that game to really help tell the story very early in the season on where this team is going. But I agree with you on the health of this team. And as always, I appreciate your opinion. So thank you so much, Vito. We will talk to you next week once again.
Thank you, John. Enjoy
the game against Cincinnati, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. And don't forget, the Ravens lost. That's a big deal.
Yeah, you know, that's even bigger. And I was at I live in Maryland. I mean, I talk about that all the time. And I was at we actually have a Permane Brothers in Maryland. And I was there today. It's in my town of Hagerstown. I believe it's the only one in Maryland. And we were there for the early game. My wife and I went. And we're watching the Ravens play, and they were starting to pick it up, and that place was just going crazy with Raven fans, and I was just miserable, and I'm like, you know what, they're going to come back and beat Chicago, and the fact that they didn't, I was just riding high from the beginning, because, you know, my two favorite teams are the Pittsburgh Steelers and anybody who plays Baltimore, so. So thanks for bringing that up, too. Vito, we will talk to you next week. Have a great week and enjoy and savor this win, my friend.
Appreciate it. You guys as well.
Take care, Vito.
Good night.
Hall of Fame caller, it's Vito. And he always puts a lot of great things in perspective for me. I really appreciate hearing from him week in and week out. And remember, this is your show. Give us a call. You decide how long it is. And we have hey, the callers are lining up. This is exciting. You always want to talk about a big win, and this is the biggest win of the year so far. And, Tony, I'm going to tell you this. I actually think this was a pivotal – not just this game was pivotal. I think last week's game was pivotal. I think that was the game that, as disastrous as it was, probably put things in perspective for the team that they need to unite and they need to get together. And I saw unity when Ben threw that interception today, and Antonio Brown, something never thought I'd see from Antonio, accountability to say, hey, I screwed that up. That's not on you. That's on me. And you couldn't hear the audio, but it looked like it. It looked like it to me that he was actually taking responsibility. And that even amped up his game because he even played harder after that. Now, I'm never going to deny that I don't think Antonio ever takes a play off, Tony. But in that situation, I think even after the mistake on the punt, on the free kick that they thought was a punt and let it roll, that was a huge mistake. And that mistake on the route, he really picked himself up and even played harder. What do you think of AB's performance and his accountability in that situation? Tony?
Okay. He pointed out that it was... Sorry, go ahead.
There you go, Tony. I'm sorry. I lost you there a second. We didn't have you. We had technical problems. Go ahead, buddy. If you could start from the beginning.
Right after Ben threw the pick and they went to commercial break, I was thinking, well, here we go again, 35 picks in however many games. But then when they came back from break, Tony Romo pointed out that, you know, it was Brown's fault, and then they showed Brown saying, my bad, my bad. That you know, to me, that spoke volumes for the communication between the two and the accountability on his part. And then at the end of the game, I mean, he bailed Ben out with making that unbelievable catch and then run for the touchdown. So, to me, he could have very easily lost focus after the mistake on the free kick and then the mistake on the interception. But he hung in there and he does what he often does, and that's make a great play at the end to win them the game.
Do you agree with me that they seemed very unified this week?
Oh yes, absolutely. I mean, to go in there and play the way they did on both sides of the ball, minus a few mistakes, but that's going to happen. After everything that was going on last week with you know, Ben, you know, saying what he said to the media and all the talk about a divided locker room. No, to go in there and an unfocused team wouldn't have been able to go in there and play the way they did today. Absolutely not. No, it was definitely a they definitely showed unity, and I think it's going to bode well moving forward.
I agree completely. We have a lot of callers on hold, so we are going to go to the 347 area code. This is a regular caller. Who's this on Steeler Final Score? Welcome.
What's up, guys? This is Ken from New Jersey. How are you?
Hey, Ken. How are you, my friend? Here's another guy that Ken always keeps us on an even keel when he calls in, and I appreciate your insight, Ken. So I know you got to be riding high tonight.
I'm definitely riding high, definitely feeling good. And, you know, I said it last week. He asked me, you know, after everything, what do you think's going to happen this week? And I said, oh, they'll go into Kansas City next week, and, you know, they'll win the game, you know, and pretty convincingly. And, you know, the scoreboard didn't really show it, but if you've been watching the game, you know it was a convincing win. So, they dominated and then just held. I'm glad to see the defense held them off at the end. My thing is, I really think I have to give kudos to, you know, to Todd Haley. You know, you want to call it the triumvirate between him, Ben, and Mike Tomlin, just like they always say, it's century. But I think the play calling, the game plan throughout the game was very good, very. It kept Kansas City on the toes. They were always one step ahead. And then in the second half, they didn't really get stagnant. Even though they were stopped at times, it could have been worse. But they really didn't win field position. But they got the ball, you know, they got the ball at the 1 yard line, their own one, and got it to the 50 and then flipped the field. So those were big plays. Like little things like that made the difference in the game. You know, I really thought that the running game was pretty much going all game, and they just kept the they were just loyal to the run game, so they were able to have runs where, you know, they broke a couple runs, 27-yard game here, 14-yard game there. That's something they didn't do in a lot of the other games that the running game didn't get going. So overall, man, I just think it was a great game plan. They weren't worried about statistics or expectations. If they don't worry about that stuff, just go out and do what's best to win the game, pick your spot. And, you know, guys were wide open, you know, when they picked their spots. And it was, you know, they picked up 14-yard pathways. But that's the recipe. Let them get about 250 yards a game. You get about the 300 yards, one or two touchdowns a game. Pick your spots, run the ball, hit the tight end. I like that he was looking for fans this game. And that's the recipe for success. Keep that offense off the field.
You know what, Ken, you were the one that said it last week, and you're absolutely correct that this is the game that they go ahead and win. And the more I was thinking about it, at the end of the show, all of us, all the callers, you included, Tony included, were very optimistic about this game, playing an undefeated team after such a devastating loss. And that's because we got perspective. And I feel that the Steelers found perspective sometime in that locker room during this week. We just talked, Tony and I were just talking about being united. Something happened in that locker room. They became one, and they got on the same page and put all the crap behind them. But one of our biggest complaints last week, and it was all throughout the show, was the fact that they just seem to go out and try to outthink the other team and go after the other team's strengths for some reason and don't go after their weaknesses. This week, they played to their own strengths and went after the Kansas City weaknesses and played a very smart game. It was a smart game plan. One of the things that we kept on saying last week was the fact that you want a team to go in and say, you know what we're going to do to you. We're not going to surprise you. We're going to run this ball down your throat with Le'Veon Bell, the best running back in the league, and set up the pass with the run, and that's exactly what they did in a way. So that's exactly what we wanted to see. Tony, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Le'Veon Bell had 314 yards against them in two games last year, and you were wondering if the Chiefs were going to be able to do anything to stop him today, and they just couldn't do it. I mean, people talk about some players that give the Steelers fits, and obviously Tom Brady being one of them. But I guarantee you that the Chiefs are seeing Le'Veon Bell in their sleep, because after today, he has 483 yards against them in the last three games, if my math is correct. And you're right. They just kept doing with attacking the Chiefs' weaknesses all game, and the Chiefs never had an answer for it, and they didn't have an answer for it last year or in either game. So they went in there. They didn't try to outsmart the Chiefs. They went out in there and they just said, we're gonna run the ball at you all game long, like we've been doing the last few times we played you, and you're not gonna be able to stop it. And they couldn't. All the way to the very end.
That's exactly it. Ken, what are your thoughts about this team going forward?
Yeah, I just think like they should use this as a springboard to, you know, just stay close. And, you know, a lot of the national media in the past couple weeks, they look at the fact that, you know, a lot of things have been coming out of the locker room, and, you know, because, you know, you heard this and you heard that from players, and I don't know, it's a different culture. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it, but it's a different culture of, you know, Mike Tomlin was saying something I was listening to, like some pregame stuff today. There's just, it is a close team. They're very accountable to each other, and he almost welcomes the outward accountability, not to really keep it in the locker room. And again, it's something that we're not used to, but as long as they're good with it, that's all that really matters. You know, if they can police themselves, if they're good with it and they can put it past them and play ball when it's time to play ball and call each other out when it's time to call each other out and be men, you know, they can really go as far as they want to. So I just think, like, cut out some of the drama. Just focus on football. Keep it about the game first and not about a lot of the other stuff. I think they learned that they have to reel it back and keep it football first. Hopefully they did learn that lesson. And they can just move forward and just, you know, do what they do best. You know, use the talents that they have. You know, I thought Martavis was used pretty good. He's more like, you know, get him about 3 catches a game in certain spots and let him use his athleticism. Don't force feed everybody. You know, you can't feed everybody.
Stop you right there.
Ken,
I'm gonna jump in and stop you right there. You mentioned Martavis, and the only reason I'm stopping you is because my phone just beeped, and I just saw a message come across. This is breaking news. Ian Rappaport is reporting that Martavis Bryant recently requested a trade, and his teammates and coaches are well aware that he's unhappy. And that is 6 minutes old.
Wow.
So, I mean, this just came across my phone when you were talking. So, we were just talking about, I'm laughing, because we were just talking about cohesiveness of this team, that it seems like they found something, and now we hear this. But they did involve him in this game. So that's I'm pausing here because I'm also reading that Rappaport also reported that Ben went and traded in 2013. So that might just be a lot of junk coming across the wire from somebody wanting to create news. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'm throwing that out there. That might be nothing based on his performance today. So you never know, but this is just something that came across the wire.
I don't know. Ian
Rappaport,
let's see what – I said Davis had a couple good catches today, but they brought him off the field. You know, Smith Schuster's definitely getting more snaps. He might not like that. But, you know, we won the game. So it's about winning. And, you know, if that's what he wants,
yep,
then he's stuck with him
and
his troubles.
I'm sorry.
You know, we'll see what happens.
And this report says recently requested a trade. So just to be clear that this did not happen after the game. So this performance, this game, may have changed that, because he looked to have played inspired. What do you think? Tony, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I didn't expect that at all. I thought it was going to be another thing from week one where you were breaking an injury report. I'm glad that wasn't it. I mean, he could request trades all he wants. They don't have to trade him. You know, he's stuck playing here as long as they want him to play here, and as long as he plays hard and tries to get open, I really don't care if he's unhappy. I mean, there's one way to become happy, and that's get open, and your franchise quarterback will eventually find you the ball, like he did in the past. So, no, it doesn't really bother me at all. It's just funny because, like you said, we were just talking about team unity, and now this report surfaces. But like you said, who knows how much. The validity of it, I guess we'll find out in the next couple of days.
And how old this is, too. And
right.
It's funny that this is coming out on a high. Ken, thanks so much for your call. As always, we really appreciate you calling in. And we will talk to you next week after the Cincinnati game.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right, buddy. Always appreciate Ken's calls. I hated to cut him off there, but he was talking about Martavis, and I agreed with what he was saying about getting Martavis into the game. I'm sure we'll spend some more time on this, but I'll just finish the Martavis talk with this about recently requesting a trade. Might have been unhappy with the way things were going in that stretch. It's funny that Rappaport brings that up right now after a big win, and what's really going to be a problem, this is just going to be a distraction, and this is probably not new news. This is something that probably happened during the ugly stretch of two losses in three games after the Chicago game, but as far as everything goes, I'm not concerned about this, and I don't really think we need to be concerned with this. I think this is just a distraction, and it's a shame to see right now. But you have reporters out there that need to be the first one. I mean, this is in their field. They need to be the first one to break something. And if they have something that they could go ahead and break and throw it out there, it's even though it's detrimental to a team, it's they've got their name on it, and they went out and at least had something to write about. So it's a shame that it could put a pall over such a great victory, but I don't think that this is a problem in the locker room right now. I mean, I think the team would know that he was unhappy at that point, but maybe today's performance, I know it wasn't an amazing performance, but he looked pretty good on the balls that were thrown to him. So we are going to go to more calls, but before we do that, we're going to take a little break and hear from Frank Walker.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view? That flashlight shining in your face?
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of frankwalkerlaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or frankwalkerlaw.com.
Once again, Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results. Tony, we're going to keep the calls going. We are going to go now to a 646 area code. You are on Steelers Final Score. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, fellas? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Bryce from Brooklyn. I can't wait to hear your take. You got to be feeling good, man.
Solid win. Good win to go on the road. I mean, of course, the Chiefs are undefeated. I do think that, you know, Pittsburgh just matches up well with the Chiefs. They kind of own the Chiefs in terms of just, you know, the quarterback. You know, Alex Smith, good quarterback, not really generally in big games, not the type of quarterback that normally beats Pittsburgh. It's normally the guy that can dictate to the defense, find a lot of the soft spots in the zone, going to be patient, accurate with the football. Those are the guys that normally give Pittsburgh fits. Alex Smith over the years, not so much, but he's been playing really good football. I love the way our offensive line played. I think Pittsburgh is in a mode now where I think as Ben plays himself, you know, into form, I think Pittsburgh needs to have a no-nonsense, no-secrets identity. We're going to come out and run the football with Connor. We're going to run the football with Lev. We're going to force you to stop it. We're going to stop getting cute in the red zone. We're just going to force you to stop it. If you stop it, we're going to go play action, and we'll put the hands on our quarterback. But we're going to be based off the run moving forward. And I think that's going to actually open up the passing game. But Todd's got to be committed to it. Can't get greedy. You got to stick with it. And again, in the red zone, that's my only beef. Just herky-jerky play calling in the red zone. I don't know if that's Ben checking off or that's Todd, but, you know, line up, get 45 on the field, keep the head knocker, pull back, and let him just do what they do. I mean, we got the tailback now. Ben is Elway-like in the way he plays. He's getting a little older, so give it to your Terrell Davis. That's Le'Veon Bell. Just give it to him. And let's see what we can do and make defenses know. You got to stop this guy. Can you do it? Hopefully the offensive line, hopefully we get Ramon back. Feel bad for Gilbert. That's tough with the hamstring. I mean, he's a really good right tackle. I thought Hubbard played pretty well. We just got to continue to do that defensively. Started the game off great. I loved the way the front seven was flying around. Good call by, you know, Keith Butler to just keep him off balance. Artie was kind of herky-jerky. He plays very aggressive. I think he's got all the talent in the world. But sometimes he doesn't play smart. So hopefully he can do that. But it's good to go get a win. They can do some good things. That Martavis Bryant trade thing, I already mentioned it. Sounds like a bunch of BS. Like Ian Rappaport doing what he does. It makes no sense.
Yeah,
I mean, if they hit
if
they hit a couple of the deep balls to Martavis, you never hear this. I mean, they're just off. He's been out of football for a year. He's just got to play himself into it. He's going to get the football. He may not be getting it now enough, but trust me, he's going to get the football. Why in the world would he request a trade right now or recently, even if it was 2-3 games ago? He just got back. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But we'll see. Overall, good game.
Great analysis, as always. You know, here's my question for you. You mentioned Artie Burns. Is this he was probably the most he didn't have a horrible game, but it seems like he was herky-jerky today. It's almost like in an entire 60 minutes, you don't know. It's almost like he has a bipolar way of playing, which you don't know which end you're going to get on any given play. Is it the fact that he is so aggressive that these mistakes are going to happen this way? Because I don't really think it's on coverage. I think it's more on his tackling and over-aggressiveness. I mean, am I on base there when I say that, Bryce?
You know, I would agree to an extent. I think in the run game, he is over-aggressive. He gets himself. It's not like he won't. He's not a physical player. He just, to be... When you have to tackle consistently in and out, tackling is all about run fitting, bringing your feet up from under you, being in the right position to get a guy on the ground. That takes a certain level of discipline. And I think Artie's thing is he needs to be more consistent with his discipline. I see him get in trouble, to be quite honest with you, when you see him play in zone. He can play zone, but sometimes I'm not sure he's disciplined enough with his eyes. And he gets caught on the wheel route. Guy caught him. He's nowhere to be found. He's checking on the underneath guy, and the guy's running behind him. So, you know, I think that was him. And he's still a young guy and needs to be better disciplined. I bet you if we were in a scheme that was playing cover one more, you wouldn't see those type of things. You'd probably see more of the pass interference holds he'd be struggling with a little bit because he's over-aggressive. But I think he wants to play more man coverage. But you got to be able to mix it up, and in the zone, you just got to play more discipline. I think that's the thing, is tackling, and his coverage. The ability is there. There's just not enough consistent discipline. But I think it can come with more snaps.
Going forward, with Cincinnati coming up next, where do you think the arrow is pointing for this Pittsburgh Steelers team?
Well, I think the arrow is pointing up, but, I mean, look, I think it is proven. Pittsburgh can't get too cute. On offense, the identity is the identity. There are no secrets. We're going to hand the football up to 26, and when he gets tired, we're going to hand it to 30. And that's going to be our offense. We're going to build everything around that. And then, trust me, the passing game is going to open up. 19 is going to get it. 10 is going to get it. We know what 84 can do. And then you can mix in the tight ends. And that's what the offense has to be. Not everyone's going to like it, but that's their strength. You look at the offensive line, Hubbard, Finney, who is clearly the heir apparent at left guard when Ramon Foster moves on. I mean, that guy is nasty. I can't believe he didn't get drafted. He moves very well. They can run so many different type of plays with him to either side. He gives them an unpredictable type of run game because he can do a lot of things, i.e. like DeCastro can do, even though he's not DeCastro. You got the left tackle. I mean, the strength of this team is about the offensive line, the tailback, the quarterback, then moving to the outside with the all-world receiver. Run the football and do that. Defensively, arrow's been pointing up defensively. Tackle people and be disciplined. Don't overrun plays. Stay in your gaps. They did a great job of that. Take to the coaching. Keith, don't get too cute and try to run wacky formations on obvious rundowns and all that. Make teams beat you. You got the youth. You got the speed. You know, play aggressive. Get these guys going and make sure you play James Harrison because he gives you a certain mentality and he's a veteran and can make plays. Arrow's pointing up if they do what they need to do. Danny Smith on a special teams level, he is what he is. Sometimes they just make, they're very inconsistent. But if we can just not, if we can not hurt the team, I think in special teams we can be okay.
Well, great. I mean, I love that analysis. I appreciate it. As always, an asset to the show. We appreciate you, Bryce. And we want to hear from you next week when go ahead and take on the Cincinnati Bengals at home. So you have a great week, my friend.
You too. You guys take care.
Take care, Bryce.
All right, thanks. Once again, that was Bryce from Brooklyn, a fantastic caller. We have fantastic callers on this show, and we want to hear from you. We want to take new callers, too, so be sure to call in 347-850-8581. We've been talking a lot about the defense, Tony, the offense, Tony. I want to talk a little bit about the defense, and I'm going to get your game balls from defense in just a moment here. But what he said about what Bryce just said about Artie Burns, you know, what did you think about Burns' performance in general? I mean, I'm not gonna give him honorable mention for a great game, and I'm not gonna give him JV status either for a bad game. Do you think that with Artie, that the discipline is something that's just gonna come with consistent playing, or do you think it could be a problem down the line?
No, I think with him, the arrow is pointing up, and I think he's going to be one of the best cornerbacks in the league. It's just a matter of experience. Like you guys mentioned earlier, he's better at playing man-to-man, playing cover, and he has most of his problems when he's in zone. He gets lost in space. He loses track of the receivers, you know, like on that wheel route that Bryce mentioned, and he's got a problem with tackling, which was part of his reputation coming out of college. He wasn't a great tackler, so you know he has to shore that up. And you saw on the touchdown at the end of the game, you know, he had a shot to bring the guy down after just a big gain, and he got by him and he went in for a score. But it's just I have no problem. You know, I'd be a lot more concerned if he was having trouble covering receivers on a consistent basis. These things that you're seeing right now, they're just mental and mental mistakes and just over aggressiveness on tackling. And I think once he gets that figured out, he'll be a Pro Bowl caliber corner. And it might not take.
Now,
it's probably going to be sooner rather than later.
Speaking of Pro Bowl caliber corners, we heard Artie Burns' name a lot today. We did not hear Joe Hayden's name at all today. I did not. There was a time I was wondering if he was even in the game. But it's just like an offensive lineman. The less you hear a corner's name sometimes, the better. It seems like the quarterbacks were afraid to throw near Joe Hayden. And I know he was on the field, but, I mean, what did you think about the fact that we didn't even hear a mention of him? That's got to be a great thing, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You know, I've heard him described as the glue of this secondary, a very settling addition to this group, and that's what you want out of a veteran like that. You just want him to do his job and take one side of the field or one receiver out of the game for 60 minutes, and that's what he appears to be doing now. I mean, it was a shaky start at the beginning. You know, he came to Pittsburgh almost right before the season started, so he had to be acclimated to the system, veteran or no veteran, and now he appears to just be the most consistent player that they have in the secondary, which is, I just think you couldn't ask for more from him at this point.
Let me ask you a question about James Harrison. On that last drive, the play before he got the sack, I actually looked at my buddy that I was watching the game with, and I'm like, I think James is going to get in there and get a sack. You could almost feel it on the play before. He was just in a zone. And I don't care whether that guy's 20, 30, 40, or 50. When he's got it in his mind, he can get to the quarterback.
Yeah, you could
did
see
it coming. Did you have the feeling that I did?
Yeah, I mean, you could see it coming. He was in there. He was just barely, I think on one of the plays, he almost got there. And then on that one, you know, it just changed the game. And that's what you want from a guy like that. You want him to come in and get you one or two plays. And in this case, it was the biggest defensive play of the game because it essentially ended the game. It went to, you know, 4th and 18 after that. So, yeah, that's all you can ask for at this point from a 39-year-old.
So, you know, right there, there's a lot of guys to give your defensive game balls to. I'm throwing it to James Harrison, and the reason I'm going to go ahead and do that is just because that was the play that stopped the game. That, just like you said it. So James Harrison gets my defensive game ball. You can give it to Debo, or you can give it to somebody else. Who's your game ball on the defense?
I'm going to give it to Vince Williams because he's always one of my favorite players, and he had two sacks today, and he's been playing lights out this year. He's getting better each and every week.
Yeah. Now, I do not have a report. I did not listen to the press conference after the game. I was prepping for the show. Do we have any word on the fact that he was on crutches towards the end of that game and going with a leg injury? Do you know anything? Do we have any report on that? Have you found anything yet?
To tell you the truth, I didn't even know about that. I was finishing up my last bowling match at the end of the game. I had no idea he was hurt.
Okay, yeah. Vince did, in fact, Jeff Hartman went ahead and posted something on the site right when it happened that he left the game with an apparent leg injury. Apparently he was on crutches at the end of the game. And if anybody has insight on that, please let us know. Usually at a 1 o'clock game, we've got a lot of turnaround time to go ahead and look into those things. We did not have the turnaround time going into this, with it being a late game. So, that's something that we need to get further clarification on, and we're going to go ahead and find out. But he is very important in that defense, and I agree with you. He's a guy that was all over the field before he went down and just had a tremendous game. So those are our game balls. But we still want to hear from you, and we are going to now go to a caller that's been on hold for a while with us. It's a 678 area code. You're on with Brian and Tony on Steeler Final Score. Who's this?
Hey, it's Nick from Marietta. How you guys doing? A couple week layoff
hey,
there.
Hey, pretty good, Nick. How are you?
It's a great Sunday, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Listen, boys.
It feels
guys,
great.
Yeah. A lot better in the last couple weeks. But, hey, listen, great dovetail into my first comment, which is the main man, number 92, the jersey I am wearing from the Super Bowl collection from Arizona. And I wore it proudly today, and he made me proud. But, you know, first of all, what really frustrates me, and the last time I got to talk to you guys was we got the explanation the next day. Of course, we didn't know about it on air, that Mike Tomlin gave that press conference after the Chicago game where he was trying to say, oh, it wasn't one player, and no one player is going to, you know, save that run defense that day, and blah, blah, blah. But I'm sorry, Mike. What's most frustrating is Mike Tomlin himself, because the proof was today. I would say that most NFL people would say the Chiefs are far more explosive, and I think their running game is at least on par with Chicago, if not better, just because they're more of a complex offense. And I didn't see any pulling guards, wiping Steelers out, any sweeps. I didn't see any of that. And it's a credit also to T.J. Watt because, you know, I'm being fair about it. I know that James was in maybe about 20% of the plays. But the point is there's a lot to be said when you have a veteran. And all those other players know, you know, the Truist, the Hayward, the inside linebackers. They know when they're coming at an angle, they know where James Harrison is. There's a lot to be said for that. And Mike Tomlin to sit there and say, oh, I know better, when you actually should have learned that lesson a year before in Dallas. I mean, why did you swap out J.J. for James Harrison last year after Dallas? You know, so that is most frustrating, and I just want to give him my game ball. You know, the second point is, and I don't want to be a downer on it because it was a great day, and I hope that this is a, you know, obviously a turnaround for him and stuff. But I also want to say that I was impressed with Tony Romo. First time I ever heard him on a broadcast. And the little I did hear of him because I was with a bunch of people, I was pretty impressed as an announcer, and I like the way exactly what you guys were talking about earlier, is this is the type of offense, even though we didn't get a lot of points, this is what we needed. We need to take advantage of when, you know, the other team's weakness. We need to sit there and be smart when they're stacking it. You know, we're gonna throw it. And when likewise, when they're only playing maybe three big guys up front, maybe a 3-4 or having a safety drop down, we've got to run the ball. That's what I think a lot of us Steeler fans expected to do, not to be just trying to, you know, be intimidated or just be outsmart or throw three times down on the red zone. You know, that's why Steeler fans get so darn mad, because it just seems like there's no rhyme or reason. But tonight or today, I think there was some rhyme and reason. The only other downer is that nobody's talked about yet, but the discipline. Man, Bell, what are you doing with the foul? You know, you're kicking off then to one of the fastest guys in the NFL when you put your team back 15 more yards. I mean, it's just idiotic. But overall, boys, I'm thumbs up tonight.
Okay, Nick, let me ask you a question because I agree on a lot of the stuff you said, and I publish it. It was published at 8:00 tonight. I do something called knee jerk reactions.
Yep.
I do something on
behind
the steel curtain. And one of the things, I love your comment on Tony Romo, and I'm also bummed about your comment on Tony Romo because I was going to save that for the end of the show because
okay.
I absolutely love the analysis of Tony Romo. And something that I printed today that I hated Phil Simms. Phil Simms was the guy that I could not stand. And I actually wrote that I think my exact words that I wrote were that anybody's better than Phil Simms. A dyslexic coke addict, a hobo, is better than Phil Simms. But at this point, Tony Romo, he has great analysis, and I really like what he has to say. And I love that he's on the number one team. And you throw him with Jim Nance, I think he could be a superstar in the game. And I was never a Tony Romo fan before. I was never anti-Romo.
Neither was I.
But I was never anti him. I was just like, yeah, he's a cowboy. And that's just the way I thought of the guy. But just really great. As far as the discipline, I'm going to throw the discipline. I want to talk about the Le'Veon Bell thing because I mentioned something that knee-jerk reactions also. But the discipline of Mike Mitchell keeps on bothering me. I think he's going to be fine for what he did today. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous for that one late hit that he had, and it could actually cost them the game. Now, there's some discipline that we talked about, the Artie Burns discipline, and it's something that he's learning. Also want to bring up Juju Smith-Schuster. Love the guy. I think there's a lot of upside with Juju, and a lot of his transgressions as far as penalties are on aggressiveness, and he will become more disciplined. I'm not worried about that, but I'm worried about the discipline of a guy like Mitchell who's been around 8-9 years now and just plays like a renegade. I know we love the song Renegade, but we don't want our players to just go out and just play undisciplined ball. So I feel that Mitchell's that guy. Now, if we go on to Le'Veon Bell, first of all, another thing I wrote in knee-jerk reactions is how much time are they spending on these choreographed celebrations? And I think that's a problem. But I actually think the penalty on that, and it's pretty ticky-tack because he was doing a boxing thing, which was just stupid. It's not entertaining to me. But I think when they said that they will throw a flag when it's sexually suggestive or violent, and did they throw a flag today? And this is, Tony, I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah, it's a football game.
I'm
going
to go to Tony first, but then I'll ask you, Nick. Do you think that was they threw that flag because it was a violent display? I mean, this is just off the top of my head.
That's not the first thing I thought of when I saw him punching a goalpost that it was violent. I just thought it was him simulating a punching bag, which I have no problem with. I mean, where's the consistency with this stuff? You know, you got players doing duck, duck, goose, which I think is hilarious, and then you're going to penalize a guy for punching a goalpost. Either everything should be okay or nothing should be okay as far as celebrations go.
It's no rhyme or reason, but the thing is, the minute I saw him touching or using a piece of equipment incorporating it into his little dance or routine, I knew the flag was coming out. I just knew it. It wouldn't even matter because, there is no rhyme or reason. Nobody can say and look at every play every week and say, that's going to be a penalty. But I just knew touching something, using some type of equipment, I knew a flag was coming. That's the sad thing about it.
I would love to hear more about that and to see. I mean, I would love to know. And, hey, I would have probably thrown the flag too because it was just, but I want to just give 15 yards for just plain stupidity. And we see that. And we talked about that a lot last year with Antonio Brown and his post-touchdown antics.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Okay.
If don't you think that a coach just on an upcoming week points out and says, hey, by the way, guys, all the things you heard about Hill is a return guy and how fast he is, how dangerous he is, remember one thing we can't happen. If any of you guys do anything, we're not going to get that penalty assessed. I know when I coach just little football with little kids, I always would remind who, upcoming, if I knew if we played that team before. That's just on a little level. I have to think that's Tomlin, you got to sit there and open up your mouth and say, we can't be kicking from our, 15 yards back on a kickoff, guys. So this week, really tighten it up. Something along those lines, Yeah, it just kills you. But
yeah, that is
what it is, right?
That's something that, and that's the biggest thing that I complain about Mike Tomlin is coming down on these guys. And I was having a conversation with a buddy this week about could Chuck Knoll play in this day and age. And not play coach in this day and age. And he said to me, Chuck Knoll does coach in this day and age. It's Bill Belichick. And I was like, you know what? I think you're actually absolutely correct. I believe in that wholeheartedly, and that's just something that just wouldn't happen in New England. And I know people go crazy when I say stuff like that, compare them to New England, but I'd love to see the reins brought in a little bit more and just say, guys, this stuff's stupid. If you want to do a dance, do it on YouTube, and we'll support it. But I mean, this really isn't adding anything to the team. It's just taking away. So Nick, I want to thank you very much for your call.
Thanks,
and
guys.
We'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
Take care.
All right, we're going to go to the phones once more. We're going to go ahead and keep it going. Someone who's been on hold for a while, 832 area code. Who's this?
What's up, fellas? This is Melvin. I told you last week when we got out the phone I was going to be smiling today, didn't I? Did I not tell you
yes,
that? Run
you
the
did.
Tape. Run the tape. But, hey, man, big win. Go ahead.
I don't have to run the tape. I know you said it. I mean, and we talked about it earlier when we were talking to Ken. There was a great feeling at the end of just a miserable show last week, just because we were so miserable talking about the Jacksonville game. But for some reason, we all left that show optimistic, and every call at the end was optimistic about the Kansas City game, which was you know, inconceivable to me at first, but you called it, Ken called it, a lot of people called it, and I'm so glad you guys are smiling.
Yeah, man, it's a good win. I mean, Steeler Nation, a lot of Steeler Nation is spoiled. We're supposed to blow everybody out by 50 points. Okay, we didn't. However, this team right now, it kind of reminds me of 2008. If you remember back in 2008, defense carried us. Our defense carried us through the first half of the season while the offense was trying to figure out what they needed to do in order to score points and win games. And it kind of feels this way to me for this year. However, I mean, our offense, we still got to do better. I think a lot of it has to do with play calling. Once again, first and goal, you know, inside the five, and we're running pass plays when we've been running it down their throat. I mean, defensively, you talking about game balls. If you don't want to give him a game ball, that's fine. But I'm definitely going to give him an honorable mention. Sean Davis in the
You're
end zone when
right,
the play had to be made. He made a play in the end zone. And that's what you have to have. You have to have people who want to make plays when it needs to be done. Ben, he did better. He did better this week. You know, he got bailed out because Antonio made one hell of a play in order to keep his concentration, catch the ball, and score. But we've still got to do better in the red zone. There was no reason with the way that our defense played today. There was no reason that we didn't score at least a minimum, and I'm setting the bar low, at least 24 points today. At least 24 points today. We're running the ball down their throat. I think that another thing that we're missing in the red zone, we need Jesse James or the kid from San Francisco, we need them to step up because you know just as well as I do, 4 or 5 years ago, Heath Miller. It'd be Miller time down there in the red zone if you want to throw the ball. It would have been Miller time. I think that, once again, I don't want to peak right now. I want to keep building up to a crescendo at the end of the season. Hey, we're a game ahead of the Baltimore Ravens. We're tied for second place overall in the AFC, and the AFC leader, we already got them beat head-to-head. I don't know if you was watching, but the Broncos are down right now, 17-3 at home against who? The 0-5 Giants. So, I mean, just hang in there. Always, you can whatever you seek in life, you will find. If you want to find something bad about the Steelers, you'll find it. If you want to find something good about the Steelers, you'll find it. But I'm ride or die since 1976. So I don't necessarily like, you know, all the extra stuff. I give Mike Tomlin a pass. A reason why I'm going to give Mike Tomlin a pass, Mike Tomlin is 2 months older than me. And there's a lot of stuff that I don't know at 45. And I've been watching football a lot.
When's your birthday? Let me ask you this.
Cinco de Mayo. Cinco
What's
de
that?
Mayo.
Okay.
Cinco de Mayo, May 5th.
May 5th, 1971? 72?
Yep.
Okay, I'm December 3rd, 71, so that's the reason I'm asking you. So we're right in that same ballpark.
Melvin, we're a week apart.
You're 71 also? or 72?
72, May 12th, 72.
Victorious, okay, baby, all day long.
That's right. Stubborn,
you know,
stubborn as heck.
You are absolutely correct about Mike Tomlin, and I brought that. You know, you're right. We can look for good things. We can look for bad things. Tony and I, our job on this show is to talk about the good things and talk about the things that concern us going forward. And we've got to play both sides of that fence. But if that's the worst thing that I'm saying about Mike Tomlin tonight, then that's a great
exactly
thing.
Exactly.
But
I think yeah. Go ahead.
Excellent point, though. I loved it. You just got me fired up for next week against Cincinnati now.
Oh, man, I think Cincinnati comes to town. Hey, they've been off a week. They're going to come into our house. But it's still the Bengals. Because I'm going to put it to you this way. The Steelers are, going back to the game today, the Steelers are to the Chiefs what the Patriots are to us. For whatever reason, they can't get it out of their head. And you know what? Cincinnati will never in a million years get out of their head the playoff game when they had us beat. They had us beat at their place, and they fumble. We go down. We score. We get a field goal and win the game in the playoffs. They will never be able to get that out their head. And you know just as well as I do, if you have an older brother, sometimes when you try your best to beat your older brother because you're so focused on beating him, you're not focused on the fundamentals that you need to be focused on in order to beat him. And I really do think that with this win today, I think that we're on pace. And another point that I want to make real quick, when's the last time you see the Steelers lose back-to-back games? We hardly ever do that, except for that, I forget what year it was, we started 0-4. But when you look back, I can't remember, my memory gets foggy, but I can't remember how many times we lose back-to-back. We may win one, lose one, win one, lose one, but how often do you see us lose back-to-back when our backs are up against the wall and everybody's calling out everybody? You know, I figured Ben was going to have a decent game. You know, just for a simple fact, you know, oh, y'all think I'm retired? Just like Mike Tomlin said at his press conference, you guys make him well aware that he's thinking about retirement. You know, I think Ben could keep his cards a little bit close to his chest, but, I mean, he's a grown man. He can do what he want to do. But, hey, I'm going to call it right now. I'm gonna call you next week, and I'm going to be smiling again.
I love Melvin. I love his analysis.
Me too.
I hope you are absolutely correct, and I think you are. And I think you've got something. Great call, and I'm going to give you props on Sean Davis. I agree with you. I was going to talk about him, but I didn't throw my game ball, but you can throw out a game ball, and I think it's well-deserved for number 28.
Game balls, offense, offensive line, period. Period. Offensive line gets game ball for me. Offensive line gets game ball for me, period. That is my bona fide.
Tony gave one to Chris Hubbard.
Okay. All right.
And
I thought B.J. Finney did. B.J. Finney was serviceable. He had that holding call for Ramon Foster. But overall, as a unit, I'm going to get an O-line, my game ball. And let me go, my girl, she's happy. She's a Saints fan. The Saints won, too. So black and gold won. She's visiting, so I'm going to be a happy camper, and I'm going to finish these ribs. I've been waiting to get on the phone. I got to call in because I told them I was going to call in. But I'm going to finish these ribs, guys. Go Steelers.
You enjoy dinner, my man. Have a
Take
great
care,
week. Hey, and set something good up for next week because you're going to have a celebratory dinner next week, too.
Will do, sir. Will do. Y'all take it easy.
All right, buddy. Take care. Melvin, I tell you what, Tony, let's throw out a caller game ball tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and throw out my caller game ball. And I think it's unanimous. I think you'd agree with me. All fantastic calls. But Melvin gets the caller game ball for this evening.
Every time he calls, I want to run through a brick wall. I'll play for him anytime.
That guy, love his analysis. I love all the analysis of our callers. Let's, gosh, I mean, we were trying to shorten things up tonight, and we had lots of great calls. We had the usual callers: Vito, Ken, Bryce, Melvin, Nick called from Georgia. It was a great night. Let's wrap this thing up. Your final thoughts, Tony.
Well, I'm gonna agree with Melvin and say I think next week you're finally gonna see. I said this before this season, but it's just a matter of time. I've been talking about the dam breaking for this offense for weeks now, and it seems like they're just a half a step off of making it happen each week. And I think next week it's not gonna be an easy game, but I think you're gonna see a very dominant performance by the Steelers, and they're gonna be sitting at 5-2. After 7 weeks, which is pretty good.
I would take that because this is definitely a tough stretch with some tough teams, and to beat an undefeated team like Kansas City, it's got to give a. It seems like a sleeping giant might be waking up, and that offense will. One of my last thoughts, my final thoughts. We talked about red zone woes. You know, I have no problem with red zone woes tonight because actually, if I'm not mistaken, Tony, they were only in the red zone twice tonight. One was the touchdown, one was the field goal, but they really weren't in there that much. And one of the main reasons for that was the fact that they played a very good defense and a very good defensive team tonight, just a good team all around. And it doesn't matter whether – you know, I always talk about it doesn't matter how pretty you win. I mean, it's like, hey, if you get to take the ugly girl to the prom, at least you get to dance, right? And, you know, that's what you do. You're going to win ugly, but a win is a win, and a win that you feel good about, no matter whether it was just gorgeous or not, doesn't matter. This was a great win for this team, and I'm feeling like $1 million. So with that being said, we've got Cincinnati next week. Your early prediction, what do you think is going to happen against the Bungles when they come into Heinz Field?
Well, I think it's probably going to be one of those games where it's kind of close early, but I think I can see them pulling away at the end. I just think they're at a point in the season now where they're going to have to, you know, start showing the rest of the league just how good they are. I mean, if they're truly a special team, and I think we both agree that they are, then it's sooner rather than later they're going to start showing that. And I just think they're due to be hot, because you saw today with the one pass to McDonald, he's just a half a step away from connecting with him. And it seems like every week there's another play like that where if you hit it, then it's a different story for the offense, and I think next week is going to be the week where it finally comes together for this team, and it truly looks like a Super Bowl, elite Super Bowl contender.
Well, I tell you what, I feel really good. I appreciate your analysis. We're going to go out on a high note and just say, hey, the Steelers went into Arrowhead with all those red-clad maniacs and silenced that crowd. And it feels really awesome. So, for FrankWalkerLaw.com, for Behind the Steel Curtain for all your Steeler needs, for Tony DeFeo, I'm Brian Anthony Davis. We love you, Steeler Nation. We want to hear from you next week. This was your final score, the Pittsburgh Steelers over the Kansas City Chiefs. And our team, the Black and Gold, is 4-2 with 10 games to go. We will see you next week, Steeler Nation. God bless.